He's helped shape our national identity through his celebrated acting roles. Brian Brown has appeared in more than 80 films and television series spanning a 40-year career, including The Chant of Jimmy Blacksmith, Newsfront, Breaker Morant, Two Hands, and A Town Like Alice and the Thornbirds. Now, Brian has used his distinctive voice to write some crime stories in his debut book, Sweet Jimmy. Now, Brian Brown has shaped how we look at ourselves, but I also want to explore what shaped him, particularly the books that shaped his extraordinary creative output. Brian Brown, welcome to Nightlife and the books that made me.
Thank you, Indira. Lovely to be on.
Now, I understand you're just out of quarantine. Have you been doing quarantine a little bit during, you know, crossing borders and all that?
Yeah, I came from Sydney to Brisbane, where I'm shooting up here for about 3 months, doing an 8-hour series, and yeah, got out of quarantine. It's strange coming out of it, but it was fine. It was absolutely fine.
We're all getting a different sense of what incarceration is really like, aren't we, during lockdown, civilians?
I'm really going to have a look at how I handle this. And so I was very interested from a sociological point of view as to how I would respond to it and all, and when there might be a moment where I was maybe going, desperately want to get out or something. But I found that I was very surprised about the acceptance, how I eventually went, well, this is my world, is these two little rooms, and out there is those people's rooms, and I'll just get on with it in my world. And I was very interested by how I approached it.
But you wouldn't want to do it too often.
No, I wouldn't want to do it again. But if I do it again, I know I can do it.
You can get through it. All right. Mm. Well, good on you. Well done. So you're there to be involved in this series. Is there anything you can tell us about at this stage?
Well, it's a show called Darby and Jones, and I'm Jones and Greta Scarkey's Darby. Mm. It's two people of a mature age. Travelling through the outback of Australia and the coast of Australia, and they're the odd couple. They actually met. They had a crash in the middle of Australia and had to share a car. And you find out as you go along more about each of them, and they find out more about each other. And in each hour, there's a scenario that sort of they burst into that gets resolved, and off they go to the next place.
Mm, it sounds good. And also using the landscape as one of the characters, which we often find in Australian films and books.
Yes, the landscape's a big deal. And, I guess I was going to say Queensland's got, you know, wonderful landscape, but you tell me a part of Australia that doesn't.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's all pretty spectacular, which is why that's, yeah, I think, the hardest part about having restrictions on us and our movement is that we can't touch those beautiful parts of our country at the moment, you know. That's the hard bit.
Yeah. Yeah, right. But you know what? I think it'll give us a deeper appreciation of what we do have there.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. So I think you've been spending your time very well, clearly, during the pandemic, still working on your shows and films, but also putting out your first debut series of crime short stories. Now, where did the idea of this come from, Brian?
Well, I'd actually written, there's seven stories in there. Mm. One of them I'd written about 35 years ago. It was an idea I had for a movie in America about a couple, an Australian couple that go to America and get caught up in a rather dark episode. I'd written it as a pitch for a movie over there. And when I gave it to my American agent, he said, well, the one thing we do know, Brian, is you can write. And I was very surprised because no one had ever said that to me in my life. Ah. But they had very good reason not to say it to me because I'd never shown anyone anything I'd written because I hadn't written anything. My life's been involved as a storyteller. That's what I've come to terms with for 40 years in film and television. I read books and I read plays and I read film scripts. But it was – so jump ahead 30-odd years, 35 years, and I was watching the television – and there was these six people in Hong Kong who'd just been released from jail. And they're all people of a, once again, mature age. And they had all been released from jail. And the judges said, you're not drug mules, you're stupid. None of them knew each other, but they'd all been caught up in scams. So scams had come on the internet. And I looked at that and I thought, if I was one of those people, I'd have to know who was behind it. So once again, I started to write an idea for a series, but I kept writing it. I kept writing and it became a story that some people read and went, well, I really love that. And I guess that just gave me a bit of a oomph to go, well, what else can I think of? And I'd drive in the car and I'd get an idea. And I'd go back and I'd start writing the story and see where it took me. And this was before COVID started. This is the year before COVID started. And then Alan and Unwin found out about them and read them and said, look, we'd love to publish them. So I went, well, I think I've got one more story that I need to do to finish this off. And it was actually one called Sweet Jimmy, which is the name of the book. So, it sort of came from me just having fun telling stories that I put down on the page. And eventually the page is going to go out to whoever decides they want to buy the book and have a look at it.
And why crime? What draws you to the story of crime?
Because I read a lot of crime. I love the crime genre, particularly the great writers of crime, because not only, you know, like, and we do like crime. It's exotic. It's that world that we know we'll never touch or hope we'll never touch because it's not a great place to be. But we're fascinated by those people that do go over to that darkish edge. But during the years, the ones I've, you know, I think about people like Hanning Menkel, who wrote the Wallander series, or Ian Rankin, who wrote Rebus. I get a smell of the place. With Rebus, I get to really feel like I know Edinburgh. And with Wallander, I get to feel I know Malmo in Sweden. You know, and the really good ones give me that sense of place. So in other words, not just the crime, but I get taken somewhere that I can enjoy or feel, and it's a part of the world out there that I'm not actually in. And so I do like crime because I'm fascinated by the choices that people make that take them into that dark zone.
Well, I remember very clearly your film Two Hands that you had a role in, and that was shot all around King's Cross, very near where I live in Potts Point, and yes, the characters were just so perfectly drawn, so real and true to the sort of characters you find on the streets of Potts Point and King's Cross, which is part of the reason I'm fascinated with living there, because it's real, isn't it?
Yeah, like these boys and girls that are involved in crime are just around the corner everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned Two Hands because I played this character called Pando, who was a bit of a bag bugger. But he was sort of also a family man and, you know, he loved having a laugh and being around people, but he could also say, go and kill him.
Yeah.
You know, and I like that dichotomy there. Someone did say to me when they read these stories, they said, oh, these are Pando stories. Maybe they are.
I mean, you played Pando a little too well, Brian. You really did.
Well, it was a glove I didn't have a problem putting on.
That's for sure. So this is interesting. So crime is a genre that you enjoy reading a lot, and that you've sent through a couple of, you know, these defining books that have had huge effects on you. None of them, I mean, there are crime elements to some of the stories, but they're not really crime styles of books. The first one you mentioned here is Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee by Dee Brown. This book, when did you read it and do you remember the effect it had on you?
I read it in 1972. I bought it at Sydney Airport as I was 25. I was going to get on a plane to go to England to knock on doors telling everyone I was an actor when I'd been an insurance salesman in Sydney. And I thought I'd better buy a book to read. I didn't read books. I'd been involved in amateur theatre while I was a salesman. And I read a lot of plays, like at that time, The Angry Brigade, John Osborne and Peter Nichols in America England were writing plays, and I was involved with plays, but not books. I didn't read. I never read as a young man. I mean, I might have read Golden books. I didn't like English at school. I couldn't connect with it. Romeo and Juliet, I mean, Shakespeare's thing. Who were these people? Why would they talk like that? I didn't engage, didn't connect. They weren't anything to do with the world I came from. Great Expectations. Who are these people? You know, what life's this? I'm not interested. I wanted to get on and go out to the swamps and play with my mates and muck around.
Yeah.
I didn't really read. I didn't get English. It never connected with me. But obviously when I got involved in amateur theatre, the words connected with me. And I wanted, I enjoyed being able to express stories as an actor playing characters. But I thought I'd better, I'm going to be on, the back of a van for 3 months driving around Europe. I better have something to do. So I see this Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee, westernish type book. I'd grown up on westerns that I'd seen as a young man on the screen. And I thought, well, this will be an interesting book to read. And it was really the first book I actually ever bought in my life.
Wow. And what significance, I mean, the fact that you mention it now all these years later, it must be a very strong effect on you.
Yeah, I guess it must be. I get it. I guess first thing is it probably opened my eyes to how what you could get out of a book, that they were worthwhile things. But I was able to connect with it because, they had things in there like, I'd hear there'd be words like Navajo or Sioux or Cheyenne or Apaches or Battle of Little Bighorn, Sitting Bull, Little Wolf Geronimo. I knew these names. I'd grown up on all these names in seeing westerns, and so I was going into a territory of entertainment, but what the book delivered was not the entertainment; it was the story. Because in the movies that I saw, the Indians were the bad guys. Everyone was trying to work out how to get live their lives, but these Indian tribes were trying to stop them. But of course, the book opened my eyes to the fact that it was about the eradication of Native America by the people that were settling there, the breaking of treaties, the burning of villages that were going on, and suddenly it had the removal of Indian territory. This was like an eye opener to me, and of course, the very interesting thing is that this whole thing was exactly the same in Australia, but I had been, once again, immensely ignorant of it, as most people would have been growing up in the 50s and the 60s. You never saw an Indigenous person. And let's get it right. All we ever learned about were the kings and queens of England. We didn't even learn about white Australia, let alone Indigenous Australia. So I was very ignorant. But this book opened my eyes to just how a way that part of the world works, taking other people's lands.
Yeah. So that was an important book. It was a gateway book in opened you up to the joy of books. You're a young man setting out to find this new acting career, get a foothold in the door in Europe, and you discover another author, George Orwell, who is, an extraordinary journalist, an adventurer, willing to go to the battle lines to get the best stories. And the next book that had an effect on you was Down and Out in Paris and London by George Orwell. What was important about this book for you, Brian?
Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't know who the old George Orwell was particularly. I can't remember when I bought this book, when I read this book. I think I read it probably in the early 80s. And somehow I'd got hold of Down and Out in Paris and London. Maybe I liked the name, as simple as that. But of course, as I read it, it was, the adventures of this broke English writer who was down and out and about his times in London and in Paris. And I think the thing that was most, that got me most about this was that in Paris, it was sort of almost like cheeky, because it took you into the kitchens of Paris and how this fella, he had to clean, he was a dishwasher and stuff, and clean the kitchens, and how he saw the other, a lot of artists work in there because they were broke as well. But like the things they do, like pee in the bloody soup of the person they were going out in the posh restaurant to serve and all that. So you sort of laughed at that and you thought, oh, look at him getting it back. So it was sort of quite entertaining, that part of it. And then he moved to the London bit, and then he just moves amongst the homeless. And that even became stronger, that story. And yet it wasn't as entertaining, but it was like I was drawn into what, and I think what it was starting to do to me was letting me understand, poverty, the class system that exists in all sorts of ways in our society. And so this book was introducing me to the society out there that we live in.
You're listening to Nightlife with Indira Naidoo, and my guest for Books That Made Me is actor Brian Brown. He has his first collection of short stories about crime called Sweet Jimmy that's out now, but he's sharing books that were really important and seminal for him from when he was a young man till now. The next book, Brian, is by an Australian author telling a very Australian story. Tell me about this book, The Lieutenant, by Kate Grenville.
Yeah. I came upon this about 11 or 12 years ago, just after Kate had written it. I had read A Secret River and enjoyed that a great deal and thought, well, I'll read this lady's next book, and that was The Lieutenant. And this book lies deep in me. I've in fact got the rights to turn it into a film.
Oh, have you? Right.
Yeah. But the thing that it's about, it's really based on Dawes. She calls him Rook, but it's about Dawes. He was the assistant astronomer that came out on the First Fleet, and we have Dawes Point in Sydney named after Dawes. A young man who was a bit of an outsider, didn't really fit with everything. That's why he liked looking at the stars, I suppose. But at the core of this book is this relationship he has with a young Indigenous girl called Patty Yangang. She was called Tarragon in the book, but it's not. She's Patty Yangang, I think is how you say it. But and she's about 12. And this relationship is extraordinary. And it's all based upon the absolute desire of each of these people to know and understand the other. And maybe it resonated because in the world we're in at the moment, it's about trying to divide each other all the time. And these two people went to the core of what we're about, to our pain, our love, our needs, and each of them from different worlds completely needed to know the other so that they could appreciate the other. And it knocked me for six, this book. I'd ring Kate every 5 years and say, look, I still want to make this movie, Kate, but, you know, I'm not doing it until I get involved with another company who I can, you know, it's too hard to carry on my own. I'm doing it with Bunya Productions, Bunya, who made a movie called Sweet Country that yes. I did, and all the Mystery Road movies. We're developing it together. But, and of course that relationship had this enormous effect on Dawes when he finally had been told he had to leave the colony, where he ended up in one of the islands. I can't remember whether it's Mystique or one of those places, where he spent his last years buying slaves and setting them free, all because of the influence that he'd had from this 12-year-old girl, you would think.
Mm. Beautiful story. I've read Secret Country, but I've yet to read The Lieutenant. So definitely now on my list, and I look forward to the film that hopefully you'll be able to put together very soon about
it.
I'm chatting to Brian Brown, the actor, about the books that made him. We've discussed Bearing My Heart at Wounded Knee by Dee Brown, Down and Out in Paris and London by George Orwell, and just then The Lieutenant by Kate Grenville. Brian has his debut book of short crime stories out called Sweet Jimmy. And crime reading is a big part of what he loves to do as well. Another book on your list, this is the fourth title, Lolita. This one, what affected you about this story? I mean, it's a very powerful story.
Yes, this is interesting. I read this, I was shooting a movie in Barrowville in New South Wales, and the little house that I was staying in had a bookshelf, and a book that was on it was this book called Lolita by Nabokov. And I'd heard of Lolita, and I'd heard that it was a, you know, spicy book or something, about a young girl and a bloke who fancied her or whatever. And so I read it with no knowledge of it, thinking, oh, this will just be a bit of a quick read through or whatever. But I loved it. And I, you know, why did I love it? It was sort of about our our great flaws. You know, Humbert, you know, falls mad in love with a 12-year-old, and then he, you know, gets her, and they go on a drive go for a drive through where they are, and you know, his obsession for her, and you know, he's delusional, and he's got, and his lust and all that stuff. But I never found it at all cheap, the story. I just found it, the flaws that exist in us. You know, we can moralize about everything, but it doesn't help when you've got flaws, you know, and I was just very taken by this book.
Mm. It is important, isn't it, to remember that we all have flaws. And I think this time when we are retreating and spending a lot of time isolated, reading, which is one of the good things, has picked up a lot of the book publishers, which is good news for you, Brian. People are buying lots of books at the moment, which is fabulous. But I wonder, said when you first left Australia and headed to Europe, you didn't know, it wasn't part of our culture there to talk about our Indigenous history and that important connection to the land. And somehow we're slowly coming back to that place. It's taken hundreds and hundreds of years for us. But do you think this time of isolation and removal from our land and the connection to the land will give us a deeper understanding of what it is and what we've done as a country?
I think it'll take many, many generations to get to a place where we're all together and the society works for everyone. We've only been going for 200 years. You know, we did what we did, or our ancestors did what they did, or the colonising did what it did. To try and, first of all, you know, to even start thinking about what we did has really only happened in maybe the last 30 years. I think it's going to take a long time. But all the way along that long time, there's going to be the desire to try and to get to a place where we're all together and it's equitable, and we'll never make recompense for it, but it will sit with us, and we will be the one people somewhere down the line.
That's a good sentiment to draw to an end our lovely chat about the books that you love, Brian. Thank you so much for giving us so much time, and all the best with the project that you're shooting up in Queensland.
Thank you, Indira.
Brian Brown, the actor who has a new collection of short stories called Sweet Jimmy that is out, sharing with us some of the precious books that have made him the creative that he is.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife. Yeah.